If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd love for you to turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter number 28. Isaiah chapter number 28. I don't know how far we'll get in the message this morning, as far as the Lord would lead, but I have a lot on the plate, so to speak, and I want to try to bring about some things that the Lord has put in my heart. I've never in my life looked at this statement, and it never really stuck out to me like it did when I read it this week. And we'll get to the statement in the text, later in the text. I'm going to preach this morning and possibly tonight, I'm not sure how it'll go, on the subject, in agreement with hell. In agreement with hell. Certainly sounds like an unusual topic, but the Bible did say over here in the book of Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. Think about that for just a moment. You know, you're looking at a preacher that believes either you have to be in agreement with heaven or you have to be in agreement with hell. The waters seem to be muddied in our generation, but in God's eyes and God's heart, the waters are clear. They're crystal clear. And let's read the text starting in verse 1. It said, woe to the crown of pride, to those drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which has a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. And that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. Aren't you glad that in every generation, God has a remnant? There's a people that love him, a people that believe him, a people that fear him, a people that walk with him, a people that have a desire to walk in agreement with heaven, regardless of how many want to walk in agreement with hell. The Bible said, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you heard any preacher anywhere make any statement concerning wine and strong drink? The Bible said the priests and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. I'll guarantee you that in a congregation this size, there are some people in this congregation, I will guarantee you, that know the rottenness of liquor and the rottenness of alcohol, know about the vomit, the filthiness. I had a preacher friend years ago that actually got saved during one of those sick spells. God visited with him. And he turned that stuff away and repented and got saved by the grace of God. The Bible said, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. Look, notice this. Yet they would not hear. God told Isaiah when he called him in Isaiah chapter number 6, they're not going to listen. But I want you to go tell them anyway. Isaiah was going to give an account to God for the message that he proclaimed, not for whether or not folks received it or not. Amen. That would cause you to pray for your pastor. He's going to give an account to God at the judgment seat of Christ for the message that he proclaims, not whether it has great results or not, but whether or not it's the truth and an agreement with heaven. The Bible said then, but the word of the Lord was upon them, unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. What an indictment, folk, that Isaiah is giving here. The Bible said in verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Aren't you glad when there's a problem? Aren't you glad when there's a sickness? Our God has a cure. Amen. I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line. Honey, I feel like in this country, God's fixing to lay it on the line. And righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. If correctly read, that's about 18 verses here in chapter 28. Please pray for me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege to read the Bible. Lord, I'm glad not only do we read the Bible, but Lord, this book is so alive, it's so powerful, it's so real that it reads us. God, I pray this morning that you would clothe us, God, in our calling. God, I don't want to say anything that you would not want me to say, but Lord, I do know how you've worked in my heart. Help me, Lord, not with arrogance, but with boldness to proclaim the truth, Lord, that you've set before us. Help us, Lord, today, Lord, to get serious about praying for our country, praying for our kids, praying for our church, praying for one another. Lord, help us, Lord, that we might see an awakening before it's too late. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I have four simple things that I want to look at in the message today. I want to notice, first of all, their condition. And then I want to notice their covenant. And then I would like to notice their consequences. And then I would like to notice the cure. Lastly, in this chapter, I don't know how far we'll get this morning. But let me ask you something this morning. If you could have a choice, would you want to live your life in agreement with heaven, or would you want to live your life in agreement with hell? I'll tell you, I believe with all of my heart that that's a good question. I believe that right now, young people, teenagers, if they settled that in their heart right now, that everything that came into their life, it's either I'm going to make a decision that agrees with heaven, or I'm going to make a decision that agrees with hell. I believe that would help them. I believe every mom, every dad, every grandparent, that would help us. When I make this decision, here comes a choice in my life. Am I going to make a decision that is in... You say, preacher, how in the world can you tell whether something's in agreement with heaven? Let me tell you how. Right here. Right here's the book that God breathed. Amen. Right here's the book that God sent down. Right here's the book, beloved, that the Bible said will never change. It's forever settled in heaven. Amen. The Word of the living God. Notice their condition. Let me give you some things quickly about their condition. In verse number 1, it says, woe to the crown of pride. In verse number 3, it talks about, and verse number 1, the drunkards of Ephraim. In verse number 1 and verse number 4, it talks about a glorious beauty that is a fading flower. How many believes our country once had a glorious beauty that's quickly fading off into the sunset? Amen. You say, preacher, this is not talking about America. It's talking about Israel. I agree wholeheartedly. This was not written to us, but it was written for us, for our admonition, for our learning, for an example, amen, of those things that happen to nations that turn their back on the living God. The Bible talked about in verse 2, the tempest of hail. The Bible talked about in verse 2, a flood of waters, mighty waters overflowing. The Bible talked about in verse 3, being trodden underfoot. The Bible talked about verse 4, a hasty fruit before the summer. The Bible talked about in verse 7, they're swallowed up with wine. In verse number 7, their error, there's error in their vision, and they stumble in judgment. The tables are full of vomit in verse number 8, and filthiness. I'm telling you, we're living in a country where there's filthiness on every corner, amen. And I believe with all of my heart, God is trying to help us. A stammering lip and another tongue, a covenant with death in verse 15, in agreement with hell in verse 15. Refuge is made of lies in verse 15. We have hidden ourselves in falsehood, verse 15. Judgment will be laid to the line in verse 17. We're just looking at their condition. Righteousness will be the measure by the plumb line. I was just thinking about something a while ago. Someone asked me about a month ago. They said, preacher, how are you going to get that pipe to go all the way up there? How are you going to know where to cut that hole up there in that ceiling? Somebody asked me that. And I said, what we'll do is we'll get up there and we'll drop a plumb line. And beloved, there's a hole down there in the top of the fireplace, 16 inches round. And we'll measure 8 inches in from every... And when that's hanging right in the center, you'll know right where the hole needs to be cut in the ceiling. I'm telling you, beloved, it's up there that determines what we ought to do down here. And the Word of God is the plumb line that God is holding up in this generation. It's not Dr. Bottle Stopper. It's not Pastor Bottle Stopper. It's not Priest Bottle Stopper. Amen. It's the Word of the living God that is the plumb line in this generation. The Bible said the hail will sweep away the refuge of lies. The Bible said floodwaters will overcome the hiding place in verse number 18. Then you go on down in verse number 20. The bed is too short. The bed linens can no longer cover the man. It's speaking of unrest. I'll tell you why we've got people in the street chanting out loud, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. I'll tell you why. It's because there's unrest in our land. And there is no rest outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's unrest. There's turmoil on every side. Oh, beloved friend, just think about their condition. What an ill use they had made of their plenty. You say, preacher, what do you mean? God had been good to them. Their land had been fertile. God, what God gave them to serve Him with, they perverted it. They abused it by making it food and fuel to fuel their lust in that generation. They were puffed up with pride. The goodness which God had crowned their years should have been to Him a crown of praise, but it was to them a crown of pride. Oh, beloved, listen. There's a sense that we ought to be proud to be an American. Nothing wrong with that. But I tell you what, if that leaves God out, there's something wrong with it. Amen. I believe people that know the Lord are thankful to be an American. Isaiah's painting a picture of the man or the nation who is filled with sin. And later, he will paint a picture of what will happen to them. I don't take pleasure in preaching like this. Somebody better preach in this generation. I believe there's a lot in America going to be laid at the feet of the pastors and the churches in America who have stood silent while that our country has turned its back on God. Where are the Billy Sundays? Where are those, beloved, listen, that cried aloud and spared not? Where are they in this generation? Where are those revivals, Brother Brian, you spoke of in Sunday school? I tell you, beloved, listen, God is calling on a nation here to repent. And I believe America better repent while we still can. Let's notice their covenant. Listen, I'm going to say some things this morning that are strong. But listen, if you love me, you'll pray for me. Listen, this morning I'm going to say some things that are strong. And if this hits you, just know that when I was preparing to preach and God was giving it to me, it hit me also. Will that be all right? Amen. Just think about that. I want you to notice their covenant. They had made an agreement with hell. They said, we've made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement. I want to look at this covenant in two areas this morning. I believe this will probably finish us up this morning. We'll come back tonight for the second two points in the message. I want to look at, first of all, the social areas, the covenant that was made in the social areas. And then I want to look at the covenant that was made in agreement with hell in the spiritual areas. And you say, well, preacher, I believe you need to separate the social from the spiritual. Let me just say this to you. If you're a child of God, you better be a child of God on Monday, just like you are on Sunday. Amen. I don't believe a child of God takes off their Christianity through the week and puts it back on for the weekend. That would be mere hypocrisy, amen, to do such a thing. And so the covenant with hell, they're saying, you know, there's a saying. I thought about this last night. I actually had to look it up. I didn't have the saying just right. But there's a saying that says, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. How many's ever heard that saying? And I thought about that, and I didn't have it just right. I had to look it up last night. I looked it up on the internet. But you know what I believe? I believe it'll show up again one day. I believe there are a lot of people in America that think they're hiding. Maybe they go to Vegas, or maybe they go here. Maybe they go to some dark place and they think they're hiding. But I want you to know God in this chapter is telling us that no one is hiding from Him. It's going to be brought into the light one day after a while. Let me give you some things that I thought about. You don't have to agree with me. Here in the chapter over and over and over, it talks about wine. It talks about strong drink. And I wrote down some things. Legalized liquor. You know what I believe that is? An agreement with hell. You say, preacher, what do you mean? What I mean is this. They're youngins this morning, Charity. They don't have a clean diaper. They don't have a good clean bottle of milk. Because daddy drunk it up last night. I believe that, listen, they said, oh, we need the revenue. I tell you, I believe stronger than that. I believe they wanted to be able to drink it themselves. Legalize the liquor. I believe it's an agreement with hell. I believe hell rejoiced.
When America said, let's put it on the shelves, let's put it in the restaurant, let's put it in the grocery store, let's make it where they can get a hold of it anywhere. And it would shock you this morning if you knew how many people will sit in the house of God this morning and yet sip on alcohol this afternoon. It's an agreement with hell. Years ago, I had a doctor tell me, because of a physical condition, he told me, he said, you need to start drinking at least one or two beers a day. Had my past not been what it had been, I might have swallowed that lie. Hook, line, and sinker. And I knew I couldn't do that. I looked at him. I said, Doc, I can't do that. He said, why not? I said, because the person behind me at the grocery store doesn't know if I'm going to drink them all in the next 15 minutes or if I'm going to drink one a day for the next 7 days. I'm just telling you, my testimony, doctor, means more to me than my health. Legalize the liquor. It's in agreement with hell. My heart is broke this morning when I think about children that are abused because of the liquor industry. When I think about homes that are broken. Years ago, I had a friend, and her husband would drink and get drunk. Some drunks, they get kind of loving when they get drunk, but most of them get mean when they get drunk. And he'd get mean and he'd want to fight. And she had a good voice and she'd sing to him. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day. Well, the troubles and the trials are all passed away. She'd sing to him when he'd get drunk and when he'd get mean. And after a little while, thank God Almighty Jesus got a hold of his heart, gave him a drink of lemon water, and he didn't want the booze anymore. I tell people kind of jokingly, but I say when I got saved, I didn't quit drinking. But it did change fountains. Yeah. I'm drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I. My soul, they satisfy. Oh, beloved friend, we swallowed a lie. In agreement with hell, legalized liquor. It's an agreement with hell. Legalized gambling. It's in agreement with hell. I believe hell rejoiced again, Brother Lance, to think about the Atlantic cities and the Las Vegases and the fact that you can't even go in a gas station and pay for your gas without having 10 machines sitting on the counter and somebody scratching. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm telling you, it's in agreement with hell. I thought about as God was dealing with my heart, legalizing murder. You say, preacher, it's never been legal to murder. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever read Psalm 139? Have you ever read that God called Jeremiah in his mother's womb? Have you ever, my friend, done a little medical research and found out, beloved, just weeks into a pregnancy, there's a little heartbeat. I mean, he's listening to me this morning. You say, preacher, what did America do when they legalized abortion? They legalized murder and they agreed with hell. That's exactly what we did. An agreement with hell. I believe hell just rejoiced. Think about, oh, now you can go have sex, and if you get pregnant, you don't have to worry about it. You can just go down to some clinic and cover it up. You say, preacher, are you saying to us this morning that there's a parallel between Israel and America? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Beloved, legalized marijuana. We got somebody running for president now. That Johnson fella believes that. He said he believes you ought to just legalize that marijuana. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. That's an agreement with hell. You say whatever you want to, beloved. Let's get them started on the drugs. Legalize the sodomy. That's an agreement with hell. Legalize the pornography. That's an agreement with hell. That's exactly what's going on in our generation. I thought about legalizing divorce. It might get quiet right here, but I love everybody whether they're divorced or not. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, I'm going to read a verse of Scripture. I thought, preacher, this won't be received too well, so I'll use the Scripture. Let me tell you something, what God said in the Bible. He said, He saith unto them in Matthew 19:8, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But Jesus said, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. All I done was read Bible. But we've legalized it. I don't like her. We're incompatible. She burns the beans. She don't clean house. I'm going to tell you something right now. You ought to have thought about that before you said I do. I'm telling you that when we make it so easy to bust up what God said is honorable marriage, we're agreeing with hell. Go back to the children. They suffer more than anybody. The judge says, I tell you what I'll do. I'll do just like Moses did. I'll give you a writing of divorcement. But God said from the beginning it was not so. And then Jesus said, if a man puts away his wife except saving for the cause of fornication. Beloved, let me say this. Just because there's fornication don't mean you have to put her away. Listen to me. Hosea didn't put Gomer away. He loved her. He wanted to be restored and reconciled to her. But God said, I'll allow it. Because he did say that adultery was a sin that would never be wiped away. God knew the stench. God knew the hurt of adultery in agreement with hell. Listen this morning. I've been trying my best before I agree to marry young people to talk to them and help them to understand they're not promising preacher anything. They're promising God. How many believes, listen, it wouldn't be so rampant if it wasn't so easy at the courthouse? I'm not putting it all on the courthouse. There's just as many divorces in God's house today as there is in the world. It's up over a little over 50%. God wants us to know. Johnny, you made a commitment, brother. Didn't you? He wants you to keep it. And if you don't take nothing out of this message this morning, Brother Steve, you made a commitment. Pastor, you made a commitment. Just realize, if I break that commitment, I'm agreeing with hell. Amen. Justin, you made a commitment. Charity, you made a commitment. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. And thank God, listen, the Bible says committeth adultery. Thank God there's forgiveness for adultery, just like there is every other sin to be found at the foot of the cross. But the Bible teaches us that we shouldn't be wanting to go out there and do it again. Agree with hell. My heart's broke this morning. We're living in a generation today. Let me say this to you. The only reason that woman and I are still married today is the grace of God. Sister Carol, I was mean. I was rude. I was ugly. But Brother Grissom, God looked down in time and he saw that if I messed up my marriage, I disqualified myself. And God, in my ignorance, I have nothing to boast in, but the grace of God spared my marriage. Gave me a wonderful pastor's wife. I can't brag in that. And I used to pastor down at Liberty Baptist Church. He made the statement to me a while back. He said, I believe when you see pastor's wife in the Webster's Dictionary, Miss E's picture ought to be alongside of it. I said, hallelujah. Most unlikely candidate in the world to be a pastor's wife. But God. But God. But God. I grew up in Baltimore, northeast 20 miles. And up there, when I was a teenager, man, if people got married, if it worked, great. And if it didn't, just go on down the road and get you another one. How many's listening to me this morning? But God spared my marriage. But God didn't let me get killed or kill somebody in a drunken stupor. But God, in agreement with hell. Lying politicians. Every time they lie, they're in agreement with hell. The Bible said all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. They're in agreement with hell. The Bible said there, we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. The day is coming when they will be able to hide no more. God's going to shine the light on the lies. Beloved friend, get the Bible out of our schools. Get the Ten Commandments down off the wall in the courthouse. You know what they were doing? They were agreeing with hell. You take the very fabric and structure of our society away when you take away the commandments of our God. The gangbangers, the terrorists, are in agreement with hell. Yeah, you probably won't like this. I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. When we make an agreement with a country like Iran, we just made an agreement with hell. And wonder, are they going to cheat? Gag a maggot off a gun wagon. Where you been? They're of the devil. They're liars. They're of their father, the devil. You can't make a deal with the devil and win. I don't know about you, but if God will help me, I will live my life, Brother Ralph, in agreement with heaven. I want the decisions that we make in our home this eve to be in agreement with heaven. I want my children to live their lives and my grandchildren in agreement with heaven. I didn't get as far as I wanted to, but I believe God's going to let me just shut it down right here. Come back tonight. My heart's broke. Is your heart broke? When you think about Maddox, Brother Johnny, think about the teacher he'll sit under in school, say high school, say he goes on to college. Will there be anybody left standing for anything? Will there be anybody left that say the Bible's the truth? And when we agree with the Bible, we're agreeing with heaven. And when we disagree with the Bible, we're in agreement with hell. Beloved friend, this morning, our God loves us. Most of this chapter right here was written, Brother Gale, to the 10 tribes of Israel. And even in Judah, it had begun to leak out this sinful way. But God had a remnant. Aren't you glad, Brother Gale, that even now in 2016, God still got a remnant? Brother Brian mentioned it in Sunday school. We said something along these lines. Well, you might have a whole lot more people if you just compromise. But I tell you who you're likely to lose, Brother Brian. That's the remnant. Them God-fearing people. Them people that love God and love the Bible. Amen. That love the truth. Those people that want to walk in agreement with heaven. Are you one of them this morning? I'm one. Are you one? You want to walk in agreement with heaven this morning? I do too. We need to pray for our nation. There's only, 50 days maybe left. We need to pray for our nation. I know, listen, I'm not going to get political, but we're in a mess. We are in a mess. Israel was in a mess. Time and time and time and time. Matter of fact, if you read it in its context, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. That's who it was talking to, God's people. But let me say this. If God would do that for them, Brother Lowell, He'd do that for us. He'd do that for our country. I don't know how bad it's going to have to get before this country wakes up. Before it wakes up and sees that we're going down the wrong path. As a nation, we're going down a path that's in agreement with hell. Let's pray together. Father, I sure do thank you this morning for the unction of the Holy One, for the privilege, our Lord. God, I'm just one man. John the Baptist, he was just one man. Isaiah was just one man. But Lord, we're just little men down here with a great big God up there. Lord, I thank you this morning, Lord, that God, we don't have to fear, we don't have to favor, we don't have to compromise. God, I pray some way, Lord, I don't know what it's going to take. Lord, Israel, time and time again, Lord, even the judgment that Isaiah is pronouncing upon them, they're going to be taken captive by the Assyrians. They're going to be in bondage again because of their sin, because their leaders were more interested in being in agreement with hell than in agreement with God and the God of heaven. Lord, we pray today that you speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, in the decisions we make, in the things that we face in our everyday lives. Just to stop for a minute and say, is this in agreement with heaven or is this in agreement with hell? Lord, that could be just the radio station that we listen to. Lord, so much of the music in our generation, it promotes sex, it promotes drugs, it promotes rebellion. And Lord, it should be no surprise if we're allowing that to pour into our heart that we make decisions that are in agreement with hell. Lord, the so-called country music scene promotes adultery, promotes drunkenness. Lord, how I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to lead our lives in a way that would be in agreement with heaven. Lord, so much of what goes on the television, Lord, is in agreement with hell. They're trying to make us think, Lord, and accept, Lord, it be alternate. Lord, there is no alternative to the truth except hell. And I pray, Father, today that you'd help us.